In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Israel had been great in the eyes of the world under David and Solomon. They had been at the pinnacle of their wealth and power and influence in the nations in that region. But after Solomon's death, civil war had racked the nation. It had split in two. And as the decades and even centuries began to roll on, the landscape changed. And in the mid-700s BC, Israel found themselves in a place that they didn't want to be. On the bottom of the hierarchy of the nations. To the south was great Egyptian Empire. To the east, the Babylonian Empire. And to the north, the big bad guy of the age, the Assyrian Empire. And Assyria had big eyes looking south towards Israel, thinking, we want the region of Israel, not for its wealth, but because it's an important crossroads connecting the whole region. Israel could see the inevitable that Assyria wanted to take them over. Israel, wanting to be great again on the landscape of the nations, started to look to the south. An old foe, Egypt. Maybe Egypt could save us, they thought. Maybe if we make an alliance with the great Egyptian Empire, together we can stand against the Assyrians in the north. And then we'll be great again. Is into this context that Isaiah, in these middle chapters of his book, is speaking. He is speaking to Israel in this context, and his words that begin in chapter 30 are this. Do not trust in Egypt. Do not make an alliance with Egypt to the south. You have trusted Egypt in the past, remember, and they made you slaves. Don't trust them again. Don't trust any of these nations around you. Trust in the Lord. Yes, Assyria is growing strong in the north, and it looks like they will destroy you. But trust in God. Assyria will fall. Assyria will be destroyed. But it won't be through human power. God will act. When God wants to tear Assyria down. So do not trust Egypt. Do not lean on them. God will send you a king when he is ready that will lead you to true justice. Wait on him. Isaiah continues telling them the Lord is angry with all of the nations of the world. Every single nation, every single army that has been raised, the Lord is angry with them. So do not trust in any of them. Do not make an alliance with any of them, because they will be torn down in their time when God's judgment comes. Don't trust in human armies. Don't trust in human strength. How could it compare to the power of God himself? God's judgment against the nations will come. The fortified cities that you think are impenetrable will be laid to rubble. The walls that you trusted in will be demolished. The cities where you thought you were safe will become a desolate landscape. Oh, the cities of the nations will be inhabited, but with wild animals, the jackals, the owls, the serpents. God's creatures will flood in and take back over his world. Because God will tear the nations of the world to the ground. And then the land, the wilderness, the trees will rejoice. They will sing out at God's salvation for his creation. For the fortified city and the walls of the empires have been brought to nothing. And the trees, the fields, the animals will rejoice For God's salvation and God's deliverance has come. The sorrow, the pain that you cause each other will be over. For the Lord will have brought man's great ambitions to the ground. And his world, his new life, will come forth from the rubble. This was Isaiah's message, his message of hope to the people of Israel. But Israel, as we all know, they were stubborn. Stubborn in their hearts. They preferred a different path. God's dream for them wasn't good enough for them. They had better dreams, they thought. Israel wanted to be great again. Israel wanted to be great in the eyes of the nations. They wanted their place back like they had with David and Solomon. So they were going to scheme. They were going to get political on the national landscape, and they were going to work with Egypt. Oh yes, Egypt had enslaved them. Egypt had imprisoned them. Egypt had stabbed them in the back so many times. But they would trust Egypt because Egypt had armies. Oh, the power of human armies, they thought. They thought if we team up with the great armies and chariots of Egypt, we will be great again. But the Lord warned them, there is no true greatness in that path. You can try to chase the national aspirations, but it will come crashing down. You think the resurrection you want is to great national prominence, but that resurrection is a lie of the world. I'm going to give you a better resurrection. A resurrection where the nations and empires of the world are laid waste. Where human arrogance and ambition is torn to the dust. Where God's garden, where the animals and the trees and the land rejoice because God's world is in harmony. Once again. This is the true resurrection that I am bringing into your world, O Israel. Don't chase the other lie. It's a dead end. As we celebrate this Easter season, the resurrection of Jesus, I believe that there is a very powerful alternative resurrection message that lurks in our world. The resurrection message that we can be great again. It's not just a message limited to Republicans or Democrats. It goes across all party lines. We want to be great again. In our own individual lives, we want to chase and aspire for the American dream of greatness again. We think of ages, of decades gone past, and we think, oh, if we could restore things to the greatness of the past. This is the resurrection hope that permeates and saturates our culture. That our economy would boom again. That new life would come up in America and around the world. And the global economy would thrive. This promise of resurrection hope is what the rulers, the authorities of our world, across all party lines, want to promise us. So they say, team up with us. Make an alliance with us. We'll make you great again. We'll build you up to power. We'll build you up to wealth. You will have prestige once again. You can be great if you team with us. God's message through Jesus of resurrection is quite different. Jesus calls to us and says, "Do you truly want to be great? Then let it go. Destroy your life. Be torn down. Be humbled. Be emptied. Be a servant." Because it's on the bottom, Jesus teaches us, on the bottom, that you will find God. It's on the bottom that you will find true greatness in God's eyes. The greatness of a servant. The greatness of love. The greatness of humility, self-sacrifice. The greatness of emptiness. Because God is there to fill you. So Jesus calls us into this reality to shut out the lies of the culture, of our world, that promise us a resurrection of a different flavor. A resurrection that's going to come at a cost, not for ourselves, but for those we tear down to get there. As we climb over others and rip others down so that we can be greater, so that we can be taller, so that we can be higher, Jesus says this is a lie of Satan. Go down. Because as God, as we hear to the message from Isaiah, as God tears down the walls, tears down the fortified cities, tears down everything great that we have made, it's there in the rubble that God will do his work. It's not our work of resurrection. We will not make ourselves great again. God can make us great when we let him tear us down. When we let him bring us to humility again. Two resurrection messages that permeate our world. And sadly, so many of us Christians, do we not get seduced by that first message of the world, thinking that God is promising some sort of wealth, prosperity, or greatness on the world landscape? We too want to chase the American dream. We too want to go up the ladders, and we get sucked into that lie. And Jesus and the prophets continue to call to us, saying, do not be deceived by the voices in your world. It looks like resurrection, but it's not God's resurrection. God's resurrection, God's new life, his work of new creation is different.
Amen.
So may we get on board with God's work this Easter season, and make sure that our hearts and our minds are reoriented on God's truth. That we don't let the lies of our culture trick us into chasing something that's a dead end, as Israel was tricked into relying on Egypt and playing the games of the world, and it led to disaster. May we turn to the Lord. May we say, Jesus, take us down. Humble us. Empty us. Make us servants that on the bottom we would find new life. Life that is good and beautiful for all creation, not just humans. That the trees, the wilderness, the land would come to life again, and that we would all rejoice knowing that God has taken the sorrows caused by human ambition away from our world. Amen.